Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello? Who's this? Hello? Who's this?
Why do you think the Eagles are still so popular?
Take it easy, witchy woman, peaceful, easy feeling, desperado, tequila sunrise, already gone, best of my love, one of these nights, lion eyes, take it to the limit, Hotel California, life in the fast lane, new kid in town, I can't tell you why, the long run, heartache tonight.
Many people as possible to be a part of this wonderful comeback by this amazing band.
I'm like Ricky Gervais. I'm just gonna let it out.
I love his laugh.
You hear his laugh?
That's hilarious.
It's the laugh, man.
What about it?
It's just the worst.
No, it's not. You love it.
I don't.
I'm like Ricky Gervais. I'm just going to let it out. I love his laugh. You hate his laugh, too?
I've got 2 tickets to paradise.
Love delicious homemade desserts, but recipes can be complicated and take so long to make. Hi, Kathy Mitchell here with my new Dump Cake Cookbook.
Simple as that.
Nothing means nothing.
I said.
Well, Tutu teaches us.
Much milk as your little belly can hold.
To another installment of the best show. This is the 4,589th episode we have done. Heading towards the 10,000 hour mark. No, we haven't done that many episodes. I don't know how many we've done. I don't want to know how many we've done. All I want to know is that you are here listening and you're going to have a good time with me and we're all going to have a grand old evening. And we've got an exciting show for you tonight. It's a night of music tonight, Mike. We got Steve Gunn in studio. It's very exciting. Very exciting. He's got a new record coming out this Friday, I believe. It comes out this Friday. This guy's got a new record. Record's great. The Unseen in Between. And we're going to hear a song from it that nobody has heard yet. And then we're going to hear him in here. He's going to play other stuff you haven't heard. But to start the show off, we're going to have a song from Mike Kroll, who's got a record coming out too. So many friends of the show with all their fancy new releases, and we honor all of them because it's nice to have friends that are talented. Must be nice to have talent, huh, Mike? Must be nice. I'll never know. All I know is how to come here and put the headphones on and talk into a microphone. And I've been doing it for a long time, and I'll keep doing it until I keel over at the board. And as soon as I do, the rats are going to come out. Ay, ay, ay. It's going to be a feeding frenzy in here. AP Mike's Original Best Show, featuring Pat Byrne. Jason Gore presents Jason Gore's The Best Show. With Spike's doing really great on social media, by the way. I know he doesn't call the show anymore. You check out his Instagram, you'll get a feel for what he's been up to. It's great. He hasn't gone away in my mind. Sure, he don't call no more. He should call. People tell him to call. Tell him to call. We should hear from him at some point. But I says to you right now, welcome to the best show. We're going to have a good time. We got Steve Gunn coming up in a little bit. We're getting this next set of music. We're going to hear something from our guy, Mike Kroll. His song's called What's the Rhythm from his new record, Power Chords, which comes out, I believe, the end of the month. So I say, sit back, relax. You break out a little bit of that old, you know what I mean, right? and you listen to the best show, because that's how we do it each and every Tuesday, and I welcome you. And the phone number is 201-332-3484. So call, get ready, more fun ahead, best show time. Yeah, right? What else can I say? What's the rhythm from the new album Power Chords? Let's listen to it. From Mike Kroll, coming out later this month, Power Chords Merge Records. The name of the album. That song's called What's the Rhythm? Good stuff, man. That's my guy. That's my guy. You did it again, Mike. What? Wrong Mike. Oh, I quit. This might be it. Mike interjects himself into a studio, breaks out that laugh that just says, I hate Mike. That's what that laugh really says. I hate Mike. Look, I'm not nuts about Mike either, studio. Did you guys order pizza? Or sandwiches? Whatever you're going to order. Sandwiches. Oh, great. Where'd you order sandwiches from? I can't even hear you. I don't know why I'm asking. I got the headphones on. So anyway, that's my crawl. World premiere from our guy. We got another one coming up later in the show. New music from Steve Gunn. And then we're going to hear other new music from him because it won't exist until he does it in front of us. That's the biggest world premiere you can do. Phone number 201-332-3484. Open phones tonight. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. Also going to have an exciting conversation with someone from a band that I have been a fan of for a long time. That's coming up about 10 minutes. We'll do that. Off to the phones. Best show. Hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
D from Austin.
D from Austin. How are you, D?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. I know this guy. This guy, I'm just going to say, it's going to sound like you're listening to episodes out of order. Because last night we recorded an episode of The Best Show that will be played when I'm not here, because I'm going to have to miss a show or two. But there's all new shows ready to go. And they're great episodes, too, by the way. They're great episodes. And this fella called. And he's in Austin, and he's got a little bit of he called last night. So you'll hear his call predating this one, but airing after this one. Very exciting.
Non-linear.
Very non-linear, right? You'd think it was, what would that be like? What would that be like? Westworld? Is that a non-linear thing? I don't watch
like
that.
Like a Borges story.
I'm not allowed to watch Westworld. I got yelled at. My mom walked in on me watching, and there was a robot that didn't have clothes on, and I got in trouble. But you, D, you have a situation that you need some actual real world help for on with.
Just advice.
Some advice. And I said you could call back and explain what you're looking for, or that you could explain yourself. So I give you the floor. This is real too. This is not any kind of, this is not a comedy routine. So.
No.
What's your situation?
Well, first off, thank you very much for letting me try to get some advice on this. My dad has been dealing with chronic and severe pain for over 6 weeks, and like it's a sort of pain that keeps him from sleeping for more than an hour a night. A while back, he maybe got like 4 hours of sleep and then woke up in writhing pain. And so, I don't have a lot of experience in, pain management and in, procuring the sort of, I guess pain management stuff that's more and more legal throughout the country, but not legal in my state. And, I don't think this situation is going to get much better anytime soon. My dad has been going to the doctor, and they found They found some masses in his kidneys and his stomach. So it doesn't look good.
You just want your dad to get some comfort. You want your dad to get some comfort. You're in Texas. You don't know how to swing getting him some comfort, and you need a little bit of advice on that.
In two areas, really. One would be like, I think getting it and procuring the comfort, that can be figured out.
Yeah.
You know?
And look, you're talking to it. We could say, right? You're talking about the old, right? You know.
The useful stuff.
Yeah, right? Yeah, man. But you're looking for it for a serious reason. Look, I'm trying to keep people's attention by doing... I have to do dumb voices every once in a while. It keeps everybody's attention.
It's not a problem. The other part of it is my dad's like a really pretty straight-laced guy, you know? I mean, I don't think I've ever even seen him tipsy. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever... And so I've got to figure out how to introduce it to him without him like freaking out or him. I think he'd be willing to try it, but I've got to like figure out how to guide him.
Yeah.
Through.
So this is not where you live is what you're saying. And you need a little bit of local guidance down there for somebody, to kind of help you out with some knowledge and maybe some contacts. I guess. Right? Is that fair to say?
Right.
This is nothing untoward. Your dad is in pain and you need some advice, and maybe somebody who's been through this can help you. How can somebody get in touch with you, D? Is there a best way?
I have an email set up called donations1580@gmail.com, and I'm not asking for any donations. I just want, if anybody has any ideas, or if anybody has stories that they can share about how they introduced older people, older straight-laced people to using this stuff.
So you're looking for a little help with some medical marijuana situation or what, to just help your dad get some comfort, and you need some advice and some guidance. So any people, what is it again? It's donations.
1580.
Yeah, donations1580@gmail.com. Yeah, so if you're down in Texas and you can give this guy some help, and you have some knowledge of going through this maybe with a parent or and you can give him some insight into how to introduce that and to navigate that, then please help the guy out. He's a good guy. He's a listener. He's a nice guy, and he needs some help. So and you're going to get it. You're going to get it. People are going to help you out, buddy.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and best to you and to your dad also, and hope everything works out.
Okay, have a great night.
You take care of yourself. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Nice guy. Best show. Everybody helps everybody on that. Dude needs a little bit of help. Best show, hi.
Hello, Tom. This is Nicholas Panic. I'm calling from Dunellen, New Jersey. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Long time no speak.
Yeah. This is the New Jersey. This is another good guy. Another good guy in New Jersey.
Ah, thank you. Yeah, good guys win. You know,
we'll see.
I mean, we get it. They don't. I don't mess that up.
We'll see. We're trying.
I won't take up much of your time, but I do want your wisdom. Okay, I think that you might like this. My friends and I, record store, you know, we love records, and we put up this game called Impossible Covers. You know, covers that can never happen. So, like, what if David Bowie covered Prince? What if Prince covered David Bowie? You know, like, David Bowie doing Nothing Compares to You, or Prince doing Hang On to Yourself. Then you got weird with it, like Gigi Allen covering Donna Summer, I Feel Love, instead of, he'll change it to I Feel Hate.
Uh-huh,
and then what about, like, if George Harrison covered I Know Where Syd Barrett Lives by the Television Personalities? So, just off the top of your head, are there any impossible covers that you would be interested in hearing?
Yeah, I'd want to hear Captain Beefheart do King Tut by Steve Martin would be a good one.
That's a good one. Oh, wow. That's a good one.
Yeah, I'd want to hear that. Sure. That's the first one. That's off the top of my head. I guess I'd want to hear Ringo Starr do 1 Week by Bare Naked Ladies.
Well, he's still alive, though, right? Isn't he?
What, everybody's got to be deceased on this?
Well, that has to be impossible. Like, it's like it can never happen.
Well, I'll put money on that one not happening.
Yeah, that's true.
1 week, peace and love. Peace and love. I will not be covering the Bare Naked Ladies as of October 20th.
Yeah, this is a good game.
Please have fun with it. I'll let you go because I don't want to take up your time. You know, I love the show, as you know.
Thanks.
And have a great night. Say hi to everybody.
You have an even better night. I want you to have an even better one. All right,
take care.
Yeah, you know.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Impossible covers. I'll think about those. Maybe see what our guy Steve Gunn can come up with that. You know what I was thinking? This apmike.bandcamp.com. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. I'm bleeping done with it. Never again will I mention apmike.bandcamp.com. I'm done. How many times am I supposed to plug this guy's calendar? The 2019 calendar. And he's still got them in stock. This guy actually had the nerve. He sold through. He still had orders coming in, so he ran a few more off. I'm not mentioning it. You want the calendar? Fine. You go to apmike.bandcamp.com. I don't care. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. That and with the headshots. The headshots are just the... He's almost out. He's almost out of headshots. Oh, jeepers creepers. What are we going to do? He runs out of headshots. And he's also got these dumb shirts for this bar he works at, Masses, in Bayonne, over there. But you know what? Enjoy the final plug, Mike. Mike, you enjoy this. This is it. I'm never mentioning it again. You better soak this one in. Because it ain't happening again. I'm done talking about apmike.bandcamp.com. I mean, I didn't even mention the songs he has up there. Songs. Can you imagine? You got to go there by a download of this guy's songs. He's got more than one. Unbelievable. Best show, hi.
Oh, hi. Am I on?
Uh-huh. You are on.
Okay, I always do that. I can never tell. This is Jesse from Kingston. How are you, Tom?
Jesse from Kingston. What's up in Kingston tonight, Jesse?
Let's see. We heard coyotes a little while ago outside. That's always cool.
Okay, that's exciting.
You worried? And,
come in? You afraid they come in the house?
They get pretty close. It sounds like they get pretty close. We can't tell what they're doing out there. There's like a nature preserve that we live on, and we see foxes and hear coyotes, and there are snakes that live in our basement, and it's pretty wild, I guess.
Yeah, man, you got to roll with that nature, huh?
Yeah,
it was a shock. If when we came to look at the place, like, our cell phones didn't work, and I don't know, man. It just happened.
And you're not a country guy. You're not used to these animals.
It's true. I grew up in New Jersey.
Yeah. So you see a snake coming, you're just like, whoa, right?
Well, yeah, I'll see it, and then I'll just stop whatever it is I'm doing and just stare at it. Mm-hmm. And the really creepy thing is that they don't do anything. They don't move. They don't acknowledge you're there, and you can't even tell they're alive because they're just so still.
Yeah. Well, just don't mess with it, huh?
Oh, I'd never.
Don't mess with the snakes. Don't play with the snakes.
I'd never, although, you know, my girlfriend did save one that got stuck in our dryer vent on the side of our house.
Oh.
It was like a whole afternoon in the summer. It was a little guy, because the snakes that we have are these big black rat snakes. They get to be about 8 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not venomous, they're not confrontational, mm-hmm. But they're huge. And I guess, you know, the little guys...
How big was the snake that was in the dryer vent?
Smaller. I would say maybe three-ish feet long.
3 feet? I thought you could get 3 inches.
No. No, and that was a little guy.
Where do you live?
In Kingston, in the woods, Ulster County, New York.
Yeah, you got to get out of there, man. You're not.
Oh yeah. You know, we went on our porch one day. There were 3 snakes all in the same little tree.
Yeah, that's
like on the side of our house.
I know what that's like. I got 3 snakes out there. I got 3 snakes out there. They'd all stab me. They'd all stab me. It says if they could take this thing over, these 3 snakes would get me.
They'd get you.
Yeah. I know what it's like.
Yeah.
And you know what? This is the thing. I love all 3 of these guys. Mike, Dudio, Pat, love them. But you know what?
What is that?
Can't trust them.
Yeah.
You gotta help me. Get me one of these snakes. Get me 3 snakes. I'll throw the 3 snakes at these guys. That'll fix everything. Bring the snake down. Go get one of those. Get one of those grabbers you get at a Target, like those shelf grabbers.
Uh huh. That would do it. That might do it, you know, because I don't think I've gotten closer than grabber distance from any of those, because they kind of freak me out a little bit.
Go get one of those grabbers for people on senior scooters.
Mm-hmm.
Grab a few snakes. Bring them by, okay?
Okay. You know, it wouldn't be that long of a drive, so I need a couple of burlap sacks or something. He wants three snakes.
3. Don't bring Don't bring them by. I just want them to be scared that I might be crazy enough to throw a snake in their face. I don't want these snakes here. I just want them on their toes.
I see. I don't think just bring a bag.
Just bring a bag, yeah. And just shake it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got those snakes. Yeah, Tom, I got those snakes you asked for. 3 big ones.
Oh. We could send you a skin. We got a lot of those in the house.
Seriously, I don't want anything. No offense, I don't want anything from you. Keep it all away from me.
Fair enough.
All right, buddy.
All right, you know, I was calling because I wanted to ask about an episode I heard was in the works for a long time.
What's that now?
But the Lou Reed album, Adam Sandler.
We're figuring it out. I'm trying. It's only 24 hours in the day, buddy. I'm trying.
Okay. Well it's okay. Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. That's good news to me.
Yeah. You like Lou Reed?
I do. I called a few weeks ago and told you that I met Lou Reed in the
Film
Forum men's room.
That's right. You met him in the Film Forum men's room.
Well, I don't know if it counts as meeting him, but we were at the sink together for a second.
Yeah. That's not a meeting at all. No offense.
Fair enough. Yeah.
You shared a men's room with him. Or as they say in Toronto, a washroom.
Right.
When I'd go up there, you know what I would say all the time? I'd say, where's the men's room? Where's the bathroom? Not the washroom. Not going to... I am going to wash. I'll wash my hands. But I'm not going to... whatever. Enough with Toronto. All right, look. Watch out for the snakes. Watch out. This guy's scaring me. I tell you, scary stuff. Scary stuff out there. I'm actually excited. The first of our exciting events. Well, the first was the Mike Kroll record, and now we have another exciting thing. I'm pretty stoked about. This I kind of kept this one under my sleeve. If you've been a listener to this show for any amount of time, you know how big a fan I am of Hover Soul. I'm one of the biggest fans. I've been on board since Tattered Planet. Years I've been on board. And some of the albums, it's just all the, Love Riot, Let It Go, Divine Noise. Just one of those bands that just always delivers, always there. Like, gotta be coming up on, it's gotta be more than 20 years at this point. And, it's definitely more. It's 25 years, because this is actually the 25th anniversary of the band starting. 2019 is the anniversary, and they're doing a pretty big tour now, like big places. It's kind of nice to see them do big shows. They got an album, Renewal, which is coming out. I love everybody in the band for Hover Soul. I gotta say, it always comes back to who do you think my favorite is, Mike? Yep. That's right. Rowdy Moses. I love him, He's just one of those guys who just kind of captures the spirit of just being so effortlessly cool, but just kind of like one of those, like, for some people, they talk about, like Keith Richards or, Jimmy Page or Joe Perry. And it's just like, for me, it's always been Rowdy Moses. And I know people know his face, too, even if you're not a fan of the music necessarily. He was for John Varvatos, for the menswear line, he was the main model, and you would always see him kind of modeling, he was like famous. He's famous for multiple reasons, and he's also somebody who's kind of like, not to mention Joe Perry, but he let the music do the talking, I guess, the way Joe had that song, and Rowdy is the embodiment of that, because he's one of the least interviewed people of all time, I'd say, in rock music. And I cannot even remember even hearing him do an interview. So that's why this is so exciting, because, he's actually online. This is a little nerve-wracking for me. I got to just... because, it's like... he's been doing this for so long and has meant so much to me for such a long time. And I guess let's just get right into it. It's very exciting. We got Rowdy Moses on the show. Now, Rowdy, you guys have this big 25th anniversary tour coming up, which is going to it kind of caps off with three nights at the Newbridge Rock Concert Arena, which I don't even think Springsteen could do three nights there. And it's been about 5 years since you've actually toured, since Hover Soul have toured. And what's it like getting ready to do all of this again? And, like, when you're getting ready to go and do this, are you nervous or excited? Like, which one would you say you are more? Are you more nervous than excited or more excited than nervous?
Excited. But nervous, yeah.
Wait, this is okay. All right. I guess I'll. Do you still feel like a connection to those early songs? Which, I mean, it's 25 years in now for Hover Soul. Is it weird for you to get up there and play these songs that were, like, written from the point of view of a kid? Because you were, like, a teenager when you started doing those songs. What is that like to kind of tap into those old songs and play them, you know, in some cases 25 years later?
It's weird to at least, like you said, it's sort of,
Okay. Huh. I guess we could talk about your modeling career a little bit. How did that come about for you to become the face of John Varvatos? Was he like a fan of the band, or did he contact you directly? And how did that come together?
He was seeing like a movie, and then. He asked me to do it.
Okay, that's the answer. That was everything. This is I don't even know. So can I ask you, Rowdy? So many rockers of your era have written tell-all books. Do you think that's something you might do sometime?
I don't read.
You don't read.
And it's like, but like, a lot of cool things have happened, and it's like, I think I write good, but it's like, sometimes it's like.
Okay, I got it. Thanks to Rowdy Moses for calling in. Okay, great. I can't do it. I guess I can understand why he doesn't do interviews. That's maybe why he's known as the least interviewed performer. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, let's get back to it, huh? Best Show, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. To whom am I speaking?
My name's Matt.
Math.
Matt with T's.
Matt. Oh, Matt. Okay.
Yeah.
What's up,
Although
Matt?
One time someone thought I was named Matt.
Yeah.
And we were out at the ocean. And it seemed very cool to possibly become known as Matt onward with that community of people.
Sure. Now that makes sense.
But in this present, I'm Matt.
Okay, what's going on, Matt?
Well, my hands are all runny with the juice from the berries.
Uh-huh, okay.
And I have a couch that's white. And I like sitting on the couch.
What kind of berries are we talking about? What kind of berries? Where'd you get the berry juice on your hands? How'd that come together?
Okay, yeah, I appreciate that you want to backtrack.
No, I want to hang up, but I will backtrack. So
sure, yeah, either or. You can do what you want to do.
Oh, I know I can do what I want to do. Don't worry, but we're still talking here, Matt.
Cool.
So what's
So I was a pastry delivery man, and I was buying dollar berries. And these berries, when they're a dollar, you put them in the freezer ASAP. And then they stay.
Can I just interrupt you for 1 second? Is this a comedy routine? What's the end game here? What's the end game?
This is all true statements, my friend.
You sound like a little bit of a tough guy, and I'm a little thrown by that. You sound like you're trying to be a tough guy and just say, all right, tell me, am I wrong about that? Are you a tough guy?
I'm a black belt in karate at 18.
Okay, so you are a tough guy. That's what I wanted to know.
Sato karate.
Now, where are you calling from?
Washington Heights.
Washington Heights. How far is that from New Jersey? Where are we? What are we talking about distance-wise?
I mean, I could walk over the GWB and, like, we could go hang out in that Japanese supermarket.
Yeah, we could.
We could.
So basically, you're telling me to get in line or I'm going to get karate'd is what you're telling me. You're telling me do what I want because I'm close to you and I'm a black belt in karate.
Fair enough. No, I'm a non-practicing black belt.
Fair enough. No, you're telling me how it is. You're shoving me around a little bit. I get it. I read between the lines. And look. Maybe I'm not a black belt in karate, but you know what I can do?
I know what you can do.
What? What can I do?
You can exist in your realm as you want to.
No, I was just going to say I might be able to get a lucky punch in.
That's true. Well, that's the realm of existence.
Because if we fight on the GWB, this is what I have to hope for. You're tired from walking across the George Washington Bridge.
Yes, I am tired from doing that. It's a cold, windy night.
Yeah. And then I duck your one move, and then I give you the old hoo-hoo, and then I knock you right into the water.
Yes, and I'm not such a good swimmer, so it's going to present a problem.
Now you're done
me.
At that point. You're
I'm
done.
Probably done.
You're donezo.
Sayonara.
So you got berry juice on your hands. So what is it? Where are we going with this now?
So I got the berry juice on my hands, and I got the white couch, and it's not really working on like the situation for me to keep licking my fingers, and I don't want to have napkins on the couch with me with the berries.
Uh-huh.
So what would you do? I mean, I guess what I've decided to do is not sit on the couch when eating berries.
Yeah, I can't do it anymore. Sorry. I truly don't care. I'll take the beating. I'll take the beating. What are we going to do with that, Mike, right? Best show, hi.
Hello, Tom?
Yes, hi.
Nick from Albuquerque?
What's that now?
This is Nick from Albuquerque.
Nick from Albuquerque. What's up, Nick?
Not much, man. Just wanted to see how you're doing and tell you a little bit about how you reconnected me with a long-forgotten college roommate.
Oh, that's exciting. Your long. How'd that happen? How'd that come together? What is this tonight? What is this? You're on thin ice, Mike. I need good callers, Mike. You're too busy. You're too busy focusing on that dumb calendar. What? You tighten it up. Tighten it up, Mike. You tighten it up. I'm not afraid. I'll put you over my knee, Mike. I'll put you over my, I'll make you go outside, pick a switch. I'll do it. That goes for everyone. That goes for Steve Gunn. He comes in. If we're going to play this song from the new record, if a song's not top notch, he'll go pick a switch. You're all on thin ice. All of you. Steve, Mike, Michael Slabach, you're all on thin ice. It's called better. Oh, they hung up. Well, that's good, though. That means Mike vetted them. What's that now? Who, the Barry guy? Yeah. There's a snooze. What is it? What's everybody half asleep? Take your time. Hurry up. If you want, you can marry. It's not yours. It's not mine. Didn't he show up at Live Aid? I heard Cat Stevens showed up at Live Aid at the end. It was just like, I got to get up there and do a song. And it's just like, yeah, this is rolling already, buddy. A little late for you to jump on stage. Are you going to go on after Paul McCartney? Paul McCartney's doing Let It Be. Suddenly it's like, we've got a special treat for you. I'm too now, riding on the peace train. Boo. Best show. Hi. Hello. Oh, wait, what? Oh, and they hung up. There you go. That works. All right. You're on thin ice. You're all on. Good. No, you're on thin ice. Mike, get in here. I want you to come in for 1 second. You're my eyes and ears out there. This is what I want. You tell me what's going on out there. You tell me who's slacking, who's delivering.
All right.
Right?
Yeah. I'll be your inside man.
Yeah. You get to be my rat.
Okay.
I need a rat. Departed style.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Remember when those rats were on the window ledge?
Yeah.
That's because that was symbolized. It was symbolized rats. It symbolized rats. Remember when those rats went on the window ledge?
Yeah.
That was saying, like, what if a rat was a human?
Yeah.
It was very subtle.
Like Mark Wahlberg.
It eluded you.
Yeah.
It eluded many.
It did.
That's what it was. It was symbolism.
Yes, it was.
You keep an eye out there.
Okay.
This is who I'm concerned about.
Okay.
Pat.
Yeah.
Definitely Dudio.
Okay.
Michael Slabach.
I'll take notes. You want notes at the end of the show?
Yeah, I do. I want notes.
Okay, all right.
All right. Get out. Pat. Hey, Pat. Can you come here for a second? All right. Sit down. This is what I want. I need eyes and ears out there.
Okay.
Especially Mike. Track Mike. All right, then get out. There you go. Take your time, hurry up. If you want, you can marry. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, this is Walter from Brooklyn. How are you?
Hi, Walter. What's going on tonight?
Nothing much. I was just wondering, you know, I've heard you, you know, I know you're a big music fan.
Yeah, man.
And, I've never really heard you talk about jazz music all that much, and I was just curious how you felt about it.
Yeah, I'm all right with jazz. What do you want me to talk about? What do you want me to talk about? Archie Shepp?
Well, I just, I'm just wondering, you got any, like, you listen to jazz? You got any favorite records, favorite artists?
Yeah, I like, this album, it's called, Jazz.
It's called,
I like
jazz?
Jazz. I like Archie Shepp.
Archie Shepp. Oh yeah. Yeah, very nice.
I like him. He's got a cool album or two.
Yeah.
I like
Eric Dolphy.
No, that's Blue Oyster Cult. I'm not as, I like them too, but that's not jazz necessarily.
Yeah.
I like, what's his face? Jazz guy?
Who's his, jazz hand, jazz man?
Jazz guy. What's the jazz guy jazz I like? Guy. I like Archie Shepp, fair amount. Got some of his records.
Very nice.
Yeah. I like, what's that one jazz thing I like? You know, the one that's like, right? You know, and then suddenly it's
yeah.
The drummer's like, boom, boom, salt peanuts, right?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Salt peanuts. I like that, right?
Okay.
Like that. I like China Crisis.
Okay. China Crisis?
That's jazz, right?
I don't know them. I don't
Level 42. That's jazz, right?
Okay.
Jazz.
Do you ever go see shows? Do you ever go hear bands play?
Jazz bands?
Live stuff? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Archie. I don't know if Archie Shepp is playing around. I'd check him out if he's doing a show.
I think he's still alive.
Uh huh. Well, I'll check a concert calendar, see if Archie Shepp's doing any any jazz shows. Where's a good place to see jazz? Madison Square Garden.
I don't know if they do that. I don't think they have any jazz shows in Madison Square Garden. No.
No.
More like in basements and, you know, bars.
Oh, like the bars. Like the you mean like the theater at Madison Square Garden?
Yeah.
So who should I see then? Who's a jazz person I should see?
Well, I'm a jazz person, but I don't know if I should plug my own stuff on your show. That's not fair.
Is your name Archie Shepp?
No, not Archie Shepp. No, no.
Now, what's your name?
Walter. Should Becker? I say my last name?
Becker. That's jazz.
No, not Walter, right? Becker.
That's a jazz group. Steely Dan.
Right? Ooh, I don't know.
Boom. Hey, 19. In 67. That's jazz, right? And then they have that one song.
Jazz musicians.
They have that one song that sounds like Steely, that sounds like Santana. Is less jazz. That's a little more, the one that's like,
fusion.
And we'll go back, Jack, do it again.
that's
jazzy, right?
I don't know. It's a stretch, I think.
What's another jazzy song I like?
Jazzy, you know?
Tears for Fears have a couple jazzy numbers, right?
Who's that?
Tears for Fears.
What's it? Tears for Fears?
Tears for Fears.
I'm not familiar.
It's a jazz group.
I don't know.
Shout.
Seems like I have to do some more research.
The song Shout, I think, is jazzy, right?
Okay.
I Believe. You ever hear the song I Believe?
No. Can you sing it? Would you sing for me?
I believe.
Beautiful.
Thank you. So when? Well, how about this? Where are you playing, Walter?
Well, tomorrow I'm playing at a KGB bar, late night.
Okay. And what's the name of your jazz group?
There's no name for it because, you know, it's very jazzy.
Okay. But, well, that sounds like a mistake. I think you might want to try. You want a name for your band? You want to try to figure out a name?
I would be honored, yeah. Yeah.
Jazz,
it's a vibraphone trio.
What if it's called Jazzophonic?
Oof. I don't know. Maybe just try brainstorm some other names, maybe.
All right. How about Jazz Attack?
Jazz Attack.
Yeah. Walter's Jazz Attack.
Tougher. Walter Jazz Attack?
Yeah.
Maybe not my name or Jazz in the
Answer the Vibraphone.
Answer the Vibraphone.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. What do you think about
that? Does anyone hear that Vibraphone ringing?
Yeah. And yeah. You do a song. And what songs do you play? Do you play Salt Peanuts?
No, we don't. We don't play Salt Peanuts. I mean, I guess we could.
You should work Salt Peanuts into the set.
Okay.
And if there's any Archie Shep you know, you should also do some of that.
Some Archie Shep stuff. Okay. Yeah.
Right?
All right.
And then maybe some Tears for Fears is a good way to end.
Tears for Fears. Okay.
Shout. End with Shout.
I'll check them out.
All right. Thanks, buddy. I could talk the talk. You see that, Mike? I threw down some jazz talk. You think I wrote for a jazz magazine? What's that? No, that was Downbeat magazine. What's that? That's a jazz magazine? No, I was thinking more like, isn't there like Jazz Times? Wasn't that a magazine? You know what I'm excited about? I'm excited. We got Steve Gunn in the studio. He's going to come in a matter of moments. But what we're going to do is we're going to hear something from his new record, The Unseen In Between. First thing we're going to do is get him to explain that title. I figure that's a good 10-minute conversation. Get him to go deep on that. He's got this new record. Comes out, I believe, this Friday. It's on Matador. It's called The Unseen In Between. It's great. I've been listening to it for a while. And we're going to hear the debut of a song called Mourning Is Mended from this album. We're going to hear it right now. So sit back, relax, listen to this, and then we'll hear some Steve Gunn from the record. Then we'll hear some Steve Gunn live in studio. Check it out. Steve Gunn. Oh, why aren't you playing? Oh, you ret. You. Oh. It's the most insulting thing that's ever happened. Oh, unbelievable. My moment of glory. My moment of glory doesn't play. Here we go. Mourning Is Mended by Steve Gunn. That was great. That's Steve Gunn from the new album, The Unseen In Between. And this is, it's on Matter. It comes out on Friday. And Mike actually said, Mike doesn't like anything. Mike's like, is the record like this? Because I like it. Yeah. I don't know if that's good or bad. But no, that's the world premiere of that song too. And now let's bring our friend Steve Gunn into the studio. The man of the hour, as it is. How are you, Steve?
I'm good.
You can sit in the big blue chair.
Okay.
Not the biggest. I sit in the biggest blue chair. That's a big blue chair, though. So yeah. This guy. Oh, all right, calm down. I know. Look. Can I pull this closer to me? Oh, yeah, please. You pull it all the way right. You see where mine is? That's where you
check. Okay.
There it is.
Great.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming by. It's very exciting. You were here, I guess, maybe like a year and a half, or would that be 2 years ago at this point?
Yeah, year and a half, 2 years. It was very chaotic.
Yeah, you're here with, well, you're here with Kurt.
Gentleman was here too.
Of course he was. He just materializes. It's like Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah.
He's like,
it was an energetic.
Yeah. Candy. He's like Candyman. Yeah. You say it three times. Say Jell-O Man three times, he appears.
You already said it twice.
Oh, no. I got to. Yeah. He, yeah, because you and Kurt, you grew up in Philly? I'm trying to remember.
I did. I grew up in this little town called Lansdowne, which is a suburb of Philly.
Okay. Yes.
You know, sort of close to Upper Darby,
mm-hmm.
western mm-hmm. suburb of Philly.
Sure. The Tower Theater.
Yeah.
This is yes. in Upper Darby, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you go see shows at the Tower Theater?
I saw a lot of shows there. I saw Sonic Youth there.
Okay.
My mother graduated high school. Her sort of graduation ceremony was there.
Okay. So the Tower Theater has been a big part of your life.
Yeah. My mom saw Lionel Richie there.
And, okay.
You know, that kind of thing.
Not the same show as Sonic Youth, though.
No, I wish.
You guys didn't. That would be pretty... That,
yeah.
That would have been a good night, though.
It was a destination. I really love that theater.
Yeah.
It's a special place.
Yeah.
So you know, and Kurt is from Lansdowne, too.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the same grade school, and we took lessons at the same guitar shop. Mm-hmm. We didn't know each other, oddly enough.
Okay.
Until much later.
Like after school years?
Yeah, after school years. When he moved back... to Philly from Boston, I saw him play a solo show at a gallery,
mm-hmm.
and there, you know, just kind of blew my mind. And then I realized that he was the person that uh-huh. grew up in my town. And
yeah.
I was like, oh my God, like, because he's from a big family. And
isn't that so strange yeah. when there are those things where two people who are both like-minded and individualistic, the two of you are, you're on your own paths.
Yeah,
but you're cut from similar cloth in ways too. It's not like you're not playing like Red
Jazz.
Hot Chili Peppers. You're just like, yeah, my band's kind of like the Chili Peppers, and then that guy Kurt Vile's from my I went to high school with that guy. It's like, no, you're both mining, you know, similar territory. You're both very different people in certain ways.
Definitely, it's interesting for sure
that you would be that. You'd be that close and not know each other
until later. Yeah.
But even just to even be that close, because it's like you think about, there's like a crazy example. I think it was like Robert Plant and then the dude from Slade, like grew up like the singer from Slade.
Yeah.
Like two guys with like very similar booming rock voices. And then they're just like, yeah, they grew up.
Oh, like on the same street.
Yeah. Like, how is, like, what are the odds of that?
Do you know, was that in Birmingham?
I don't know. I'm okay. bad with
I don't
that.
Mean to fact check you.
No, no, that. Don't worry. I'm just, okay. Mike, look that up. Robert Plant and what's his face from Slade?
I went to this record store in the
Naughty Holder.
I went to this record store. The only reason why I ask Birmingham, because I went into this record store in Birmingham. And the owner was this really awesome guy, and he was selling photos of Slade.
Uh-huh.
Just photos for sale, like in these little plastic bags.
Uh-huh.
And I would just assume that Slade is from Birmingham.
Yeah, because the guy had a pile of photos.
He was the president of the Slade fan club.
And it gives, I don't know.
I could be totally wrong, but anyway.
We'll find out. Mike's going to fact check this. And, yeah, you guys had your thing,
mm-hmm.
but you kind of found your own, like what was the first stuff that kind of put you on your path with the type of music that you became interested in?
For me, you know, I mentioned that I took guitar lessons in Lansdowne.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, when I got a little bit older, 16, 17, I started going into the city, going to record stores, going mm-hmm. to shows.
Sure.
Also, I listened to a lot of radio.
Okay.
You know, I went to Temple University.
Okay.
And there's really good radio programming at Drexel, WKDU, and also at Temple. There was good radio and also record stores. I just kind of was like this kid going to punk shows.
Yeah. Well, like the Record Exchange?
Record Exchange. Yeah. That was my place.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was about 17, 18, I was going in there listening to all these crazy stuff that JC and Tom Lax and all these people were playing me, all these insane, you know, just there's just posters and records everywhere.
No, and those guys are good kind of, they are good guides for just getting, it's like, they're not, they're not snobby about stuff at all. They have outstanding taste, and they just want people to to just
they're
check
really,
good stuff
they're
out.
They're really friendly. It's like, you know, if I walked in there and said, like, what are you guys playing? Mm-hmm. They're not going to be like, ugh.
You don't know this?
Yeah. They're going to be like, it's Sun City Girls, and I put the record out. Do you want to buy it? It's just for sale over here for $9.99. Yeah, exactly. Like, here we go.
Yeah, because Tom did and does one like a label that's been around for a long time now, Silk Breeze.
Yeah.
And that's one of the most influential. It's like kind of this sneakily influential force that just has never stopped and just has always found the music that so wherever it was on the planet, they would find these things.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of like, I remember when that Dead Sea, the double album, they put that out, and that was just like, just this monster record. And it's like, that's a good thing about music too, where it's like, it's not like, it's like in sports, it's whoever, it is quantifiable in sports for who the best is, where you can just say, like, oh, this person scores more than that person, so they're better. But in music, it's just kind of like, you could put 500 copies of a record out and you're the best on the planet at that given moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not, it's up for, you can't just put stats against stats. It's just like, no, artistically, you're beating everybody else on the globe right then.
Right.
And that's like, that's kind of like that label managed to pull so many things together. Did you,
I think, you know, I just feel lucky to be, you know, to grow up in Philly and to kind of be around that stuff because, I was in punk bands and meeting local people and all that stuff. And then meeting folks from Philly who are reaching out, you know, putting out records from bands in New Zealand and stuff kind of blew my mind. And then, you know, all of a sudden I'm seeing, you know, musicians from New Zealand that just the local kind of like crappy bar in Philly and drinking Yinglings and being like, having my mind blown.
Like, who were you seeing that really impressed you?
Someone from New Zealand I saw was a guy named Roy Montgomery.
Sure.
And I actually just met him again. Well, I didn't meet him back then, but I met him just last year when I was in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about his visit to Philly and how he hung out with all those people and stuff like that.
Yeah. I remember when those New Zealand artists started coming over and they would just be able to play, like, they would play Maxwell's and Hoboken, and they would be able to play for like 150, 200 people in cities. They actually got a solid turnout because people were so excited about them being there. And then it was just funny to, like, just that they're just like dudes, kind of like you thought.
Yeah.
Like, I remember Alistair Galbraith coming over, and he was just like, we went to a diner, and it's just like, what's this guy going to eat at the diner? It's like, he doesn't want this. And then he's just like ordering the food. He's like, I'll have a pizza burger, please. Like, it's like, Alistair Galbraith's eating a pizza burger. Wait, that's what we eat.
I think there was a certain kinship with Tom and the people from Philly, you know, going to, you know, being in Christchurch and hanging out with Roy Montgomery. I feel like there's just a certain sort of sensibility that those guys shared.
Yeah.
Even with like the kind of do-it-yourself, self-released music that was happening there, Tom's aesthetic and the Record Exchange, it was like an interesting link.
Yeah,
And, you know, there's crossover with Guided by Voices and bands
That. It's crazy. If you look at like if you did like a map of the world and you put pins in it, and there's just, I'm going to just say this. I'm nodding my head and the chair squeaking, guys. And don't laugh, dude. If you do that laugh, this is not funny. You're all on thin ice. I bought a can of WD-40. This chair, I'm gonna.
Do you want me to spray it for you?
No, okay. I don't, Steve Gunn. Okay. That would be. Do you hear that?
I'm just trying to help.
Should I get Steve, Mike, Pat, Dudio? Steve Gunn's saying he'll spray the chair. I don't know why I can't do it, actually.
I know how to work a can of WD-40. I can do that. I see that little red nozzle.
This chair, I'm going to throw it in the street. I don't know what that'll prove. I'll just be standing next week. I'll throw the chair out. They'll be like,
do you know that's a healthy thing that people are doing these days?
Throwing chairs in the streets?
Standing. No sitting.
I do a fair amount of standing. Okay. Yeah.
You know, but in offices and in front of computers and all that stuff.
Yes, I see those working, those desk, those like people have that, the platform that can rise. They have the option between sitting and then they can lift it. It rise. Every time I move, the thing squeaks. Oh,
that's not good, Steve, for radio.
Thank you, sorry, Steve. Don't worry. Did your sandwiches show up yet? Did your sandwiches make it? I hope you all enjoy. And you, Slaybach, too. You're on thin ice. You could just put some oil on. You're supposed to fix things. This guy's supposed to be a fixer. You could have come in here. You could have heard it. You could have come in here and squeaked it out. So,
he's eating those candied pralines out there.
Yeah. Yeah. The candied pralines. Mike's, these are so good.
He's like, whoa, Mike,
Yeah. Mike, you're not allowed to have any more candy pralines. Until this chair squeaks, no one eats candy pralines. Until this chair stops squeaking, candy pralines are off the table. Bring them in here. I want them in here. Give me the candy pralines. And look who brings them in. Those three just stared at him. Thank you. Yeah, these are no ones now. So, yeah. So, and Philly's a weird place, and I mean that in the best possible sense. I love Philly. If I have a choice, I'm in New Jersey, and I'm halfway between New York and New York City and Philly to see shows, and I'll just go to Philly a lot of the time because it's a better time, I think. Yeah,
for sure. I live in Brooklyn. I moved there a long time ago, but
sure,
I still miss Philly and go down there all the time.
Mm-hmm. But it's funny how Philly has kind of like, I guess it's kind of but everywhere is kind of blown up now, right?
Yeah.
Like, where's a bad neighborhood anymore? It's like they're running everybody out of everywhere. It's like, Fishtown. It's like,
I'm looking for some trouble, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the thing about, I noticed that in Hoboken, we were just in Hoboken. I was like, whoa, we tried to get this, you know, it's the best pizza place in Hoboken.
Yeah.
And we went there and it's an hour and a half wait for two. I was like, really?
Yeah.
And the hour and a wait, half for two kind of thing is happening in certain parts of Philly. No disrespect.
Yeah.
But it's a little strange, I think, because the thing about the areas of Philly is they're so small. You know, like, instance, like Fishtown or Northern Liberties, which is where I used to live. It's like once it starts, then it's like it happens so fast, like digging up the streets and everything's, you know, they're just, people are.
And they shove everybody out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Philly was a good thing. It was a good kind of incubator for kind of oddballs in a way, to just be kind of like off the grid relatively, and people could find their voices and do their thing. And then when they kind of had it, then you get attention. It's not just like some place where people are like in New York, it's a lot of times people are just like waiting for big things to happen so they can start hyping it right off the bat.
Right.
But it seemed like, did it feel like that?
It's like more of a, in Philly is more of a community. You know? It's like, I was just working menial jobs, playing guitar, but I also was going to shows. So I got to meet all these people.
Yeah.
And some of these people were living in warehouses. Some of these people had studios. And then you keep seeing them around. It's not a big town, so you get to know people pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And everyone's sort of supportive and helpful.
And you guys all kind of found a common common thing, because it's
I think so.
Because now it's you, it's Kurt, it's the war on drugs, guys. It's like there is a certain thing that's kind of popped from the city. It's not what you would expect to come out of Philly necessarily. But it,
yeah, I wasn't really around when those guys were doing their thing. I was around a little earlier and left.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true. I think that
You can't get the Philly out, Steve.
No, of course I can't. No, believe
you
me.
Could
I've been
try.
Trying for.
You've been trying. Yeah, you could say like you could be in Brooklyn for 40 more years.
Yeah,
and you still just be like
that accent's there. Yeah. You know. You just talk
to someone with it, and then it comes right out.
It's there. It's ingrained. It's embedded in my soul.
What word is the giveaway that you're from Philly, that you grew up there?
Water. My family used to make fun of me because I dropped the water, and they said, "Steven, would you like a glass of water?"
Uh-huh.
I said, oh, come on. Mm-hmm. Like, do you want me to say water?
Yeah. No, I have friends that give me the business because I say water, like water.
What's that? Is that Jersey?
That's a Jersey.
Yeah.
That's a Jersey, New York kind of thing, water. Hmm. And then they're just like, how are you supposed to say it? And they're like, water. I was like, what?
What's that? Where's that from?
It's Ohio people.
Okay. See, that's
yeah. Yeah. So you got a new album out now.
It's coming out on Friday. Yeah.
You can say it's out.
It's out. You've heard it?
I have. I've heard it a bunch.
Oh, cool.
I've had it for a while. I love
it. Thank you.
It's really good.
Thanks a lot.
And this is your...
Second
one with Matador, yeah. Because you had an EP, right? What is it?
I did a proper album in 16.
Yeah.
And then, was working on this one.
Yeah, yeah. Is great.
Thanks.
The unseen in between.
Do you know that the guy who plays bass is in Bob Dylan's band? I don't know if that's a little too.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, this guy, Tony Garnier.
Okay.
He's been in Bob Dylan's band for 30 years.
Wow.
He's the musical director.
Okay.
And I randomly met him right before we were supposed to start tracking.
Okay.
And we just sort of hit it off. He said, you want to hear my demo?
Uh-huh.
You know, and he was like, sure. He was like, do you need a bass player? And I said, okay.
So he said to you, do you need a bass player?
Yeah.
That's the greatest thing ever.
Anyway, I don't mean to plug that too
hard. No, that's fantastic.
But...
You should plug that.
Yeah.
You should plug that as hard as you can.
So that was really crazy. And then, you know, we recorded a whole record with him, and he was all psyched, and he invited us to see Dylan, you know, mm-hmm. a few times. And so we were like kind of guest listing mm-hmm. to these shows, and I was just this is insane.
Yeah. It's weird.
Super funny.
Yeah. It's weird what's his end game? What do you think? He looking
Bobby
to die on the road?
He looks great. I mean, he had, the last time I saw him was in Philly at this new theater called the Met.
Yeah. Oh, I saw Kurt
there. Where Kurt played.
I saw Kurt a few weeks ago.
Yeah, which must have been fun. That place
was great.
Yeah. Kurt's band sounds so good these days.
Man,
good
they
Lord.
Are so locked in. And they have you know what they have now? They have bottom to them now.
Yeah.
Which
it's crazy.
Like they have there's full dynamics in that band, mm-hmm. which sounds so great.
That's awesome. And did the Feelies play that?
The Feelies played.
That's
unbelievable.
Incredible.
Yeah. Like that is
top notch.
Unbelievable. That is the band. That's
the band.
That's the band that I am. Look, I would look Yola Tango. Obviously, I would say Yola Tango would say they would be most proud that the Feelies are from New Jersey, even more than I'm more proud that the Feelies are from New Jersey more than I am from New Jersey.
Sure, that's Jersey. That's real Jersey proud. You
that
see
is.
Those bumper stickers?
Jersey proud.
Is that Have you ever seen that?
No,
I just saw one of those on the way over.
Jersey here. Proud. I don't know. I'm more proud. Like, cause what is like? Look, Bruce Springsteen. That's fine. Who, Frank Sinatra? Okay, sure.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, what's that?
What's the great... what's your favorite Jersey band of all time?
My favorite Jersey band of all time?
You don't think on a two...
Oh, no. I'm trying to just think. I might just have to say the Feelies.
Because
of what they've become. Like, no band has been more perfect than the Feelies, if you think
what
about it.
What about, can I,
yeah. Oh,
I don't,
please.
I'm not going to challenge
no,
you.
No, you push, you challenge all you want.
What about the Misfits?
That's Yeah, but they were not
second place. Oh, no, no, they weren't.
Feely's, nobody's been...
But they wrote a few perfect songs, but they were all...
Yeah.
Just copies of other songs, anyway.
Look, there's a shocking amount of great talent that has come out of New Jersey. When you look musically...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Isn't it crazy?
Well, what about... I mean, you were talking about jazz earlier.
Yeah.
And all the greatest jazz records were recorded in Hackensack.
Oh, yeah. All that stuff was recorded in New Jersey.
Yeah.
All that stuff in northern New Jersey.
Yeah. All of it.
Like literally all of it.
Yeah.
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 It all happened here. People took the bridge across. They recorded it in New Jersey. Oh, you know, it's crazy. The history of the state. And I'll still say, though, I think I still have to say the Feelies.
Okay.
Because
the run is
unimpeachable. No one has ever held the thing together. And when they play, I've never seen more of a thing where it's like, I know what they're going to do, and it's still as alive as anything possible. When they do Crazy Rhythms, it's the most exciting. I look forward to that.
The energy is so good still.
Yeah.
Which is really impressive.
Yes. And, Misfits are way up there too, because they have...
It was a lot of baggage, but...
Yeah. But just the idea that you can say New Jersey, it's just like, it's like Frank Sinatra, Danzig, right?
Glenn Whitman, yeah.
Yeah, and you got Bon Jovi.
Jovi.
Skid Row, right?
Yeah.
You've got Cinderella.
Lansdowne, the guitar players from Lansdowne.
Yeah.
My hometown. So.
Who's the all-time Philly person then for you?
Philly Rock?
Sure, yeah.
Robert
Hazard? Who is it?
I'm not, I'm going to say this. I don't want to offend anyone, but I'm not really a Rundgren fan.
Okay, that's fine.
Philly Rock, and I'm not really, the Hooters were really popular when I was a kid.
Okay.
I think I played street hockey with one of the dudes once.
Okay, one of the Hooters?
Yeah, and he was pretty good.
You ever have a melodica in your band?
No.
You ever attempted to keep the legacy alive?
I've had melodicas in my closet and stuff like that, sort of laying around practice spaces and things, but I don't think they've ever gotten utilized.
So all time, and don't you overthink it either.
You know what? I'm just going to have to say Bardo Pond
is
my all-time favorite band from Philly.
Okay.
And it was only really, they're amazing, but it was my formative time as a kid going to this place called the Khyber Pass.
Sure.
Between, underage and up to 21, seeing them. I saw them open for Sonic Youth, and I got to know them. I've seen them so many times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're still doing their thing.
Yeah.
Talking about the Feelies, they're still, I have this kind of ingrained memory of that band, and it's a special thing.
They kind of carved their own thing out.
Yeah.
And it's them.
Yeah.
When they do their thing, yeah.
Yeah. So I'd say that... just personally, that was a band that meant a lot to me.
Sure. And are those lifers? Are those the ones
lifers?
Is that what resonates for you?
I think so. Yeah.
That's what you want to be? In it for the whole, for like.
I'm in it to win it. Yeah. I think. I don't have, I don't want to go work the job that I had before.
Nobody wants to go back. The whole point is to just stay one step ahead of that.
Yeah.
And it's like sometimes you're two steps ahead of it. And if things are going really well, maybe you're like four steps ahead
of
it.
Maybe you take three steps back.
And then suddenly you look, it's like, I was four steps ahead of it. I think.
And then you start making calls and see, get the people to drag you out.
Now I'm
right?
two steps ahead. But you're still ahead of just going back to that job.
I think I'm not a lifer. I'm making the connections when I'm a little bit older where I've got nothing so I can start cashing in favors.
Yeah, okay.
And say, like,
that's good.
Tom Sharpling, can you give me...
Yeah, please.
Can I come,
By all means. That's the golden ticket. You really picked a winner on that one. Let me know how that call goes when things aren't going so well for you and you call me. Hey, it's Steve. I'm looking for some help.
Hey, remember that time?
Yeah.
When you debuted my track?
Yeah. So you have with it. No, please. You call me anytime you want. You have your guitar with you.
I do, yeah.
And why would you bring that? Why on earth would you bring your guitar with you?
I was going to play a song.
Yeah, please. Let's get the left.
Studio! Okay.
I can accompany you on a squeaky chair.
Yeah, that's good.
Anytime I blink my eyelids, like it squeaks.
We could do like a freeform jam.
I'm going to fix it next. Mike?
Yeah.
Mark that down in your little thing we talked about before. I'm going to fix the chair next week.
I'm going to play a song from my album. It's called Lightning Fields.
Okay, yeah. So which what are we talking here? I'm going to turn my mic down when Steve starts to play. That's three or four? Okay. Let's see. Do you want to run the board? Do you want to run it? You run it.
Lightning fields, rows of steel into the ground. Lightning fields, rows of steel into the ground is where we'll bound. See that flash moves too fast all over town is where we'll bound. Got in the ground. Got in the ground. Got in the ground. Save it eventually. See them stacked all shiny in the black. 400 laid out in a perfect stack. underground. Scott underground. Lining fields, bows of steel into the ground.
Steve Gunn in studio. You can play as much as you want, Steve.
Okay. I can just go right into another one.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Hey, don't you want, you watch, you almost spilled that coffee on the board. I'll put you over my knee also.
This song's called New Familiar.
closer you can see it. Give up the open space. Sacrifice your days with the news in the sun. Reduced to a pile. And you're leaving again. Always a different world from where it all began. Unravel me with humor, suspend me in the air. It's not there, give it back. Laughing in the fall, there's no air anymore. New familiar. So you can see it. Give up the open space. Sacrifice your days with the news and the sun. Reduced to a pile. And you're leaving again. Always a different world from where it all began.
Steve, that's fantastic. Steve Gunn is here.
There's a partial version.
Yeah, no, that was beautiful. look, you could play more. I'm not going to tell you to stop.
I can talk for a second. I just want to tune up.
Yeah. So what are you going to do? You're going to hit the road soon? You're going to be all over the place?
Yeah, all over. The album comes out on Friday, and we're starting shows. We're playing in at Bowery Ballroom, February 1st.
Okay.
And, yeah, we're going on tour. We're playing all over. Down in Philly on the 2nd, and we're going to the West Coast, Europe, the whole thing.
Sure. So everybody's gonna get a shot to see you.
Yeah.
So the next few months is...
booked up. Yeah.
Booked up. And the record is out on Friday. How long did you work on this record? Michael was just saying, when you were here, that's what you were saying it earlier also, just like that was the demoing process.
Yeah.
Like you were just starting to figure out what this record was going to be
back
about
then?
Yeah,
that was around, it was when I came here with Kurt. That was like almost like 2 years ago.
Now, how do you figure out, when do you know when it's a thing? I think that's my problem. I can't tell when
a
thing is a thing.
Know. You think it's a thing, and then it's not a thing, and then...
then you wake up sometimes, you're just like, I don't think any of this works.
Yeah, right.
And then you're just like, yeah, that's a bad feeling, right?
Totally.
But then what do you do when you...
when you got it?
Yeah.
When you get it.
You just know it, right?
I think so.
Right.
Well, maybe you know it when you don't got it.
Okay.
So then when you get it, you don't want to... you're just like, maybe this is... feels good, and
so it's like
I'm hitting on a stride, and
so it's almost the absence of not getting it is getting it. It's not even like you're like, I got it. It's like, I know I don't not got it.
I think when you get it, you don't not got it. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, that's good.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It makes too much sense. Now, what night are you playing in Bowery Ballroom?
It's Friday, February 1st.
Okay, and then...
I have a Jersey resident, Meg Baird, playing Mary Lattimore that night.
So that's the ultimate... Jersey Philly union.
Yeah. It's all about Meg. The tri-state Jersey vibes.
Yeah. Mary's great.
Yeah, she rules.
I love Mary so much.
I know. Me too.
And it's nice to see her kind of pop and people appreciating what she's been doing this whole time.
She's been doing it for a long time. You know that she just drives around in a Volvo with that harp all year.
Yeah.
She's out on the open road.
Yeah. Not a clarinet. She's driving around.
Piccolo.
Yeah, no, she got a harp with her.
So,
no,
yeah,
she's
much
the best.
Respect.
Well, let's.
Actually, we're talking a lot about Jersey, and I was thinking about playing a cover song.
Yeah,
and then I'll play one of my own.
Okay, I'm going to let you do. Why don't you do two in a row? But I'll
let
you
a twofer.
Twofer. It's two for Tuesday.
Two for Tuesday.
Yeah. Now, Jason, get back in here. Do we have eyes on Jason? Anyone have eyes on Jason? There he is. Great.
For me or you, and all I wanna say, and all I gotta do, who did I do this for me or you? Oh, all I want is to know, all I want is to know, with the touch of my burning hand. Zombies to destroy your world. Prime directive, exterminate the whole race. And your face drops to a pile of flesh. Your heart beats in pumps of death. Prime directive, exterminate whatever's left. All I wanna say, and all I gotta do, who did I do this for, me or you? And all I wanna say, all I gotta do, who did I do this for, me or you? Oh, all I want is to know, all I want is to know, all I want is to know, all
song written by a guy named Glenn Whitman in the late 70s. It was a deep Jersey woods, Jersey devil, sitting in the pines with an acoustic. Glenn Whitman, should check it out. This song's called Vagabond.
can see in a burned out flat yard, an empty stare from a vagrant catch a vagabond. Bag is packed and you move along. Mona came from the sea, caught land gracefully. The night is cold, but you know it felt so free. Camped out in a graveyard, took a job and cleaned some tombstones, like lovers in a chateau of a crooked dream. It's a long, hard day at work. They called you mad for singing. Do you remember when it blew away? The wind runs through the trees. It's neither faith nor law. The sun has set when you come to find me there. Frozen in a ditch. Cold deep stare like a cat. And we move along. Jean-Pierre came from the road. His artwork remains unsold. He holds such a heavy load, you know he's so far gone. He tells me he can't hack it in his old black leather jacket. Keep a hold on to your strangeness from rolling home. When we meet him at the train station, he was dressed to the nines. Things are changing now. We'll move along.
That was fantastic.
Thank you. Did you recognize it?
Of course. Okay. Yeah. No, that was exciting. You paid yeah, proper you
proper Jersey home.
Yes. Match. Thank you.
Sure.
On behalf of everyone from the Garden State, we thank you. Cuz you leapfrogged us. You went from Philly to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That's fine. You didn't stop.
But I spent a lot of time in Jersey. Down yeah. Jersey Shore.
Sure.
That's my link to Jersey.
Which?
Wildwood.
Wildwood, yeah, that would be the...
Yeah, my dad went there when he was a kid, mm-hmm. his parents, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I went there, and then when I was like, you know, started in my teens, I was getting very sort of disgruntled by it.
Sure.
And...
Ocean City? Any time in Ocean City?
A little bit, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I spent a summer there. When I was 16.
That Ferris wheel? Mm-hmm. That terrifyingly huge Ferris wheel?
Did you go to a Jersey Shore when you were...
I would be more like Point Pleasant or Seaside
Heights. Yeah, you got that vibe. Yeah. You got a bit more.
Thank you. I think. I'll take that. When I was on the boardwalk of Seaside Heights a couple years ago, it's where I was on the boardwalk wearing a King Crimson shirt.
Nice.
Waiting to buy a soft serve ice cream.
That's such a good pairing.
Coors
Brothers. Yeah. K-H-O-R-S.
Yes. So I'm waiting to buy it, and then some guy's like,
Crimson.
And this maybe defines my entire, everything I've worked at toward boils down to this, to what this guy said to me, this moment. He's like, hey, Crimson. I'm like, yeah, Lark's tongue's an aspic. And he goes, we get it. They don't. And he points at everyone else on the board. He's like, they don't.
You know, that's going to bring out the Chapman Stick type of folks as well.
Oh, yeah.
Trey Gunn.
Imagine, you ever play with anybody with a Chapman Stick?
No, I knew a few people, and I've seen it live.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Pretty fascinating.
Yeah. I've seen King Crimson, and you see Tony Levin do that Chapman Stick. It's nuts.
Incredible.
Yeah. Tony Levin, one of the most talented guys, but I will say this. We're at a hotel in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Outdoors. Me and John Worster. Tony, we see Tony Levin working out. We see him working out in the gym.
At the hotel.
Yeah, in the gym. Then he walks out of the gym, hotel, jumps right in the pool, didn't shower.
Ooh.
So he went so far down in my book. Come on, Tony. Rinse off before you work out.
What was he doing in the gym? Was he lifting or was he running?
Yeah, he was doing some, he was on the machines, doing some arm exercises. Mm-hmm. Maybe some, I should have gone in and checked what weights he had set on it. What's that? I don't know. He might not have wiped down the machines either. I'm not gonna say he didn't wipe the machines down because I don't know if he did. I know he walked right out of that workout room and jumped in the pool. Hey, you want to do that at home, Tony?
I'm more of a Giles and Fripp.
You like? Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. You can see on my computer where I stand about that. I'm all in.
Have you? You've gone to concerts and all that.
It's some
your
kind
top,
of crowd.
That's your top band.
They're way up there.
Like it's like King Crimson, then Lou Reed. After that,
it might be some version of that. Yeah, it's the only show you can go to where the line for the men's room like will snake all the way through the venue, and then just like the women's room is just wide open.
That's
like,
called the Crimson Snake.
The Crimson Snake. Oh my God, that's perfect. The Crimson Snake is the line at the men's room snaking through the theater of just guys waiting 40 minutes now to get, what is this? What's this line? It's like, no, that's how it is for women at every other thing. It's like, it's your turn to wait online.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss. They're going to come back for the second half.
Oh, man.
I'm going
to. Do they do like a drums in space kind of thing where they.
They do
just
a fair
a free-form jam.
Oh, there's a bunch of jam. Because now, King Crimson.
Right.
No joke.
They're cashing in.
It's three drummers. You
heavy.
See him.
So heavy.
This is the band. Imagine it's a two-tiered thing. Up front, drummer, drummer, drummer. Then there's
drummer,
a riser.
Drummer.
Okay. Everyone else is behind the drummers.
Wow.
Is there
a laser show and all that?
None of that. There's literally nothing.
There's no trippiness.
There's nothing to look at other than these guys. And they are, it is the best. I am totally in the tank for it.
I gotta see that.
When these drummers are just like, they're just doing their thing. They're like so locked in, and the drummers are completely driving the bus on this band.
Sure.
And they're doing all the old stuff, and yeah, I love it so much. Mm. I can't wait to
see
them again.
Well, if they're playing, I'm gonna go next time.
Well, they're gonna
so
be
maybe
in,
I'll see you there.
Let's figure it out.
See you in the line.
I'll see you in the line. Yeah, I bought a ticket. Because they played Red Bank. They played two nights in Red Bank.
Nice.
I'm like, I think I'm going both nights.
I was that. It was just like, it was like, yeah, I think I'm in on this.
Wow.
This is, that was a real line.
Just solo mission both nights.
Oh, by myself.
So good.
One for King Crimson, please. It was not.
Did you buy any merch? Or any,
yeah, I bought.
You like stickers and stuff.
Yeah, I get, what did I get? The shirts are so dumb looking. I didn't get a hoodie. Those over $110 hoodie with the cover of Court of the Crimson King on it. I will say this. I have a friend has a leather jacket, not a leather jacket, a denim jacket with that painted on the back. Super cool.
I bet.
Yeah.
Is he walking around Jersey with that?
She.
Oh, she. Well, yes. That's even cooler.
Steve, you got to realize.
Oh, man.
The ladies like Prague, too.
Definitely.
I talk more about Prague with women now. Well, just, I'm talking more about just like dudes are not, either if you talk to a dude about it, then it is like that Punisher thing. And you're just like, all right, I'm realizing maybe I don't like this stuff as much as, as much as you do. I'm really.
But then
I just
how do
found,
you get out of it yeah, when you establish?
I just found my line with it, and you're on the other side of it. We didn't even get anywhere near you on the other side of that line. Oh, that thing!
Because you all the thing about a Punisher yeah, is the you. It's just a trigger. So when mm-hmm, you trigger it, mm-hmm, then there's no getting out of it. That's why it's called a Punisher because yeah, you've set yourself up. You know you have, mm-hmm, and then you have to commit.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, so, for instance, you're hanging with a crimson.
Yeah, I run into a crimson.
And you
head,
say, like, yo, man, like, the Red Bank, like, when that
yeah,
when that one thing happened, that's all you need to say. Like, when that one thing happened, yeah, it's like, it's on.
Yeah. When they did Starless at the.
And okay, then it's like, okay, well, you're committed.
Yeah.
For.
And then now this guy's like, I've been looking for a chance to make this, to do this TED talk. This
have
one
a,
person
have a
TED talk. Yeah, yeah, have a seat. I'm about to lecture you about a thing that you probably know a fair amount about, but I'm going to do that. I'm going to just do it to you right now. And it's not going to be a conversation. I'm just going to tell you right now. It's a speech I'm about to do about King Crimson. Wait, what is this? I look at a post-it.
Mm.
So it's come to this. Pat and the two guys out there, Pat and Jason. I'm going to say this. Why don't you bring this chair on stage with you, you rats? They're doing a comedy. They did not run it by me.
Oh,
suddenly
no,
they started marketing themselves as a comedy team. They're doing live shows all over the place. And there's a post-it here just sitting right in front of me. Pat and Jason, Saturday, February 2nd, 11 p.m., Brooklyn Comedy Collective at the Brick. So you can see Pat Byrne, Jason Gore do their live show. You go see Steve on February 1st.
Bowery Ballroom.
Then the next night, you go and you go see Pat and Jason live. How are you guys going to figure out who goes on first? A coin flip? Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, yeah. That Punisher thing.
Yeah.
What's a Punisher? And for people who don't know the whole Punisher concept, it's what would you say it is? It's getting trapped.
I mean, it's yeah, I enjoy talking with people all the time.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
I think the Punisher
doesn't
no
enjoy
exchange.
Talking to you.
There's no exchange.
Yeah. The Punisher's not talking to you. It's not a conversation.
No.
Yeah.
It could be anyone. They need a warm body.
Yeah.
But the thing is you trigger a Punisher, so yeah.
Operative word, he.
Yeah.
I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Pretty fair.
And maybe, you know.
There might be a lady Punisher out there the way there was like Eileen Warnes was out there. Like, hey, there was a lady serial killer once too. It's like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're looking at.
Well, I think a Prague Punisher is a perfect. I mean, that's like the epitome of Punisher because there's someone listening to the most specific, complicated music yeah, and they need to talk to someone.
Yeah, about the thing they just wrapped their head around.
I mean, there's guys, there's Chapman Sticks, there's three drum sets.
Yeah.
How are you going to listen to that by yourself and not talk to anyone? You know?
You go to that merch table at the Crimson Show.
You see, they got the, they put out the, every year they put out a two-disc set of rarities. The 2019 box is out. I'd say a lot of these are not actually unreleased. They say they're unreleased. They were, a bunch of these ended up in, they were Collector's Club release. Like this version of Cat Food from 74 was actually part of the Collector's Club.
Is that really a song, Cat Food?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty good.
It's cool.
Good song. Cat food, cat food, cat food.
I think my favorite is 21st Century Schizoid Man, but yeah. That's not like a, I'm not like a deep.
Well, you're going to get it. You're going to get into it now.
Yeah.
Next one you got to listen to is.
There was a punk band from New Jersey that covered that song that I really liked called Rorschach.
Yeah.
They played 21st Century Schizoid.
A lot of people covered it. Unrest covered it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to get Lark's Tongue in Aspects, next one for you to check out, Steve.
Okay.
Check it out. And when you listen to it, I want you to just think of this when you listen to it. This is the album that they, that in their mind was a, like a sexy album.
Oh, boy. Okay.
But it's like, it's just like.
Is it jazzy? Or just, it's sort of like.
It's just King Crimson.
Okay.
It's long and kind of epic and.
Okay.
And ridiculous, and the best part when the show starts, they you can't take pictures, like they're just like
yeah.
There's like this audio. There's two signs on the stage that just say "Do not take pictures. You will be removed from the theater."
Yeah.
And you see people patrolling, looking.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, they were doing that during the Bob Dylan concert.
And they play. Yeah, it's great to not have to look, watch the show through someone's phone.
When someone in front of you has their phone out and you're like, it's like blinding you.
It's like, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Oh, here's that horrifyingly poorly filmed and sounds terrible, looks bad, but don't worry. It's the middle 30 seconds of a song. Yeah, but I got it. And here it goes. Here. Yeah. Cause then they were playing and they play this audio thing to begin. It's Robert Fripp goes like, "Hello, fellow King Crimson fans." It's like, he sounds like Dr. Demento a little bit. I guess he's like, "Welcome to an evening with King Crimson, and we will please no photographs. When Tony takes his camera out, then you can take your camera out and take pictures as much as you want." And the thing is, Tony takes his camera out when the show's over. He takes a picture of the audience.
Uh-huh.
And there is a picture from the Count Basie Theater of a very sad looking me in the audience. I saw it. I was just like, "Oh God!"
Taken by him.
By him.
Published on their
somewhere. I don't know why I said that on the show.
Oh,
now people.
Yeah.
Now it's gonna.
Oh no!
Now I'm gonna get that thrown back in my face 40 times. People doing circles of me in the crowd. I was way up front. Not hard to see me in that one. Crimson for one, please. Yeah, I went to the merch table. I'm going to... how much time is there between the two sets? Because I'd like to go put my merch bag in my car, if I could. Best time was Red Bank, Count Basie Theater, second show.
Mm.
Walk through the parking lot. Some dude just... relieving himself in the middle of the park, and was still like
he couldn't deal with the Crimson Snake.
No. You're right,
he couldn't commit,
he knew about the Crimson Snake. He's like, nope,
I'm out of here.
I'm the parking lot's gonna have to do. And it was like August or whatever, and it was like 7 o'clock, so it's still daylight basically. This guy just like, "Hey, this is what I gotta do." It's like, there's 40 bars along this stretch right now. Just go to a bar, act like you're a customer there. Nobody's going to flag. It's like you're a white dude. They're not going to bust you. You walk through the bar, you act like you belong.
Have some dignity, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The blight on the Crimson community. I got to bring it up at the next meeting. Well, Steve.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. The album is truly fantastic.
Thank you so much.
The Unseen In Between comes out this Friday, Matador Records. And it's great, and thank you for coming and playing, and it's always great to see you. And
yeah, you too.
Anytime you want, buddy.
Okay, see you around.
Yes. And Michael Slabach, thank you. Don't come in, though. Don't come in. Don't push. Don't push it.
He has a gift for you.
Yeah?
He has a gift, yeah.
You have a housewarming gift.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, this is terrifying. Now, people know Michael Slabach. He was Don't take a picture of this.
Oh, there's a dog in here. I love that.
For when me and John do live shows, Michael is our partner with that. Oh, no, I already know what it is when I see that. Oh no, it's the world's biggest AP mic headshot. What is that? How big is that?
Oh, 2x3.
2x3. Did you see this, Mike?
No.
Well, come on in.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I think that's my next merch.
An AP mic. A 15. Towel.
That looks like a towel, yeah.
Michael, thank
you. I just thought I'd tie the place together.
Tie the place together.
Just have to get your details on where that was made.
At the Staples over on 4.
No, we'll get it done. Yeah, we'll get it a little cheaper than that, Mike. Are you really going to do posters now, Mike? An AP. What if you do just a limited screen? Why don't you do like an Andy Warhol type screen?
Oh, that would be nice.
Well, just a limited thing, like get a print, like limited prints.
Yeah.
Ugh, why am I giving you these ideas? Thank you, Michael. That's.
You're welcome.
The sweetest thing anybody's
it's terrible.
Ever. Yes, no, it's the best and worst thing.
Yeah. Which is.
That is fantastic. I think. I'm going to play another record and then we'll come back and keep the show going here. I'm going to play something. What should we play here? Hold on. What are you guys moaning about? We'll keep it going. I'm going to play something from an earlier record of Steve's that I like. He'll play from. We're going to play something from Eyes on the Lines. Came out a couple years ago on Matador. Also, here's something Full Moon Tide. We'll hear this and then we'll. Beshel be back. Oh, wrong. Besha, we're back. What are we doing? Yeah. Here we go. Thanks to Steve Gunn for coming through. Very exciting. Phone number 201-332-3484.
Besha. Tom?
Yes, hi.
Hey, what's up?
Not a whole lot. To whom am I speaking?
This is Court in New York.
Court?
Yemen.
In New York. How are you, Court?
I'm very well. I was listening up to a point, and then I jumped on the phone. So, been good so far, though.
Good. Do I know this Court?
No.
I don't? Okay.
No, new Court. But not the first?
I know a Court.
Cool.
So what's up, Court?
Oh, I guess I'm going back to, I had a joke from when when Steve Gunn had mentioned the standing desk.
Yes.
Right. So it goes, the more we learn how bad it is to sit at a desk all day, the more I wish I could stand when I'm at my computer at work. So I'm trying to get my company to pay for one of those shin removal surgeries.
Oh, court.
Court, too far?
Court, you're out of order.
Oh, dag.
You're out of order, court. Court is not in session. Get
it
off
isn't.
My phone. You know who's going to be in session? The me and Julie Klausner on Thursday in San Francisco. If you're in San Francisco, the San Francisco Sketch Fest. There's a thing, me and Julie Klausner. Going to be live at Sketch Fest. You got to come out. It's going to be great. It's me. It's a tribute to Julie Klausner. Is that what it's called? What are they calling this thing? Hold on. Where is it? What? Yeah. A tribute. Where is it? Thursday, January 17th. A tribute to Julie Klausner. Sketchfest tribute, Julie. Yeah, and there'll be me talking to Julie, and we're going to have fun, and it's going to be great, and don't miss it. Don't miss it! If you're in San Francisco and you miss this, boy, you're going to regret it. You're going to regret it the rest of your life. I'm telling you right now, you'll regret it. I better see you there. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. This is Dana in Brooklyn.
Dan in Brooklyn. What's up, Dan?
I'm sorry, it's Dana.
Dana in Brooklyn. What's up, Dana?
I'm calling to see if you have any advice for conducting a job interview, or not conducting, but being interviewed over the phone or in person.
Yeah, why, what's the job?
Just office sort of stuff. I'm reasonably qualified for these things, but I freeze up terribly, and it feels like... I'm not going to be able to be employed.
Sure, sure. I got you. You get tight?
I get super tight, yeah.
Here's what you do.
Okay. I got a pen.
You're on the call.
Uh-huh.
This is what you do. You pretend your old buddy Tom is standing there next to you, right? Cheering
uh-huh.
you on. Right?
Right.
How about this? You know how I'm on the show and I say everything and I'm like a wise guy and it's just that, Tom can say anything. I'm not, it took me a long time to get to this point, right?
Of course.
This is not my natural setting. Hmm. I'm a delicate flower in real life.
Oh. All right.
So this is what you do. You say to yourself, I'm going to handle this call as if I was Tom. I'm going to just talk and act like I am in charge of everything. Took me a long time to feel like this, Dana. So take a page. Just ape me for the start of the thing, and then before you know it, you'll be comfortable. You'll be yourself.
Oh, that's very empowering advice.
Start the call off, and they'll be like, "So, Dana, how are you today?"
Right. I'll say, "Oh, hello. I'm doing okay. How are you?"
Let's do the call right now.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Okay, I got hello, Dana.
Hi, this is Dana.
Hi, Dana. This is Earl Blorflort just calling about the job. Figure I wanted to talk to you for a few minutes about the just and see where we're at with this.
Of course. So I'm pleased to talk to you. Thank you.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you taking the time. And so, Dana, I'm looking at your resume here, and it says you spent 4 years in prison?
Well,
Let me address that right off the bat. You see, I was going through some hard times. You know, I got caught up in a bad crowd, but I'm much reformed. You know.
So tell me about these hard times. Then do you go into that thing that wrestler did about hard times? You know that one?
I don't know that one.
You know, thing where he's like, you talk about hard times, brother. You know the thing, hard times. You know that one?
I don't know. I don't know what you're referring to.
What's his name?
But, okay, but,
you know, Dusty Rhodes.
I've been through some hard times, yeah. I got in with the wrong crowd.
Hey, can this caller hear me play a YouTube thing? Can you hear this, buddy? Tell me if you can hear this.
Hold on. I would like to thank
many
fans of this country
that we just wrote the American dream while I was down.
Yep.
Can you hear that?
Yes.
Secondly, I want to thank
Jim
Crockett Promotions for waiting and taking the time
because
I know how important it was. Starrcade 85, it is to the resident fans, it is to Jim Crockett Promotions. And Dusty Rhodes, the American dream, with that weight, got what I wanted. Ric Flair, the world's heavyweight champion.
Don't say any of this stuff.
I don't have to say a lot more about the way I feel about Ric Flair.
Don't say any of this.
No respect. No honor. There is no honor among thieves in the first place.
Say that.
He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family. You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country are out of work. They got 4 or 5 kids and can't pay their wages, can't buy their food. Hard times are when the auto workers are out of work and they tell them go home. And hard times are when a man has worked at a job 30 years. They give him a watch, kick him in the butt, and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's
what I want you to say. Okay? I want you to just say all of that about hard times.
I'm with that rhetoric for sure.
Yeah. You just say, you want to know about hard times? Hard times is when you work 30 years and they give you a watch, kick you in the butt, and they tell you a computer just took your job. I want you to say all that.
Where does that come from?
It's a wrestler saying that. Hard to believe, right? Remember when AP Mike got into wrestling? And he was, what were you, a manager or something? You going to do more of that? No? One and done. Mm-hmm. I think you should get more into it. We'll get you in with Jeff Cannonball, start smashing fluorescent light bulbs over your head.
Oof.
Right? AP Mike in a barbed wire ring of death. What am I doing in here?
Yeah. Put that nice makeup on.
Guy starts swinging a bat covered in spikes at Mike. Yeah. So look, you'll get that. This is what you do. Just play it cool. Relax. Make like you're me for 30 seconds, like me on the radio. Not me in real life. I'm a quivering mess off the radio. You make like you're the loudmouth on the radio. That'll get you through. Then you tell them about hard times. All right.
Okay.
Best
I really
luck. Let me know
that.
If you get. Let me know if you get it.
Okay.
Best show. Hi.
Oh, hey Tom, it's me, Jessica from Ithaca.
Jessica from Ithaca. How are you tonight, Jessica?
I'm doing just fine.
I'm glad to hear it. How are things in Ithaca tonight?
Pretty good. I got for Christmas one of those headshots from AP Mike.
Oh, boy.
And now it sort of watches me while I sleep.
It does. The eyes move in it.
Yeah, it does.
It's always at a different angle.
That might just because I don't have it in frame and it's slowly falling forward.
Yeah. No, you need to frame the thing.
I need to contain it.
Yes. Hard times, brother.
You ever hear? Did you hear that Dusty Rhodes thing?
I did. That was
get you kind of
pretty
pumped
accurate.
Up, huh?
Made me feel really good about myself.
Yeah, computer kicks you. No, the computer doesn't kick you in the butt. What happens in it? You work 30 years, and then they give you a watch, kick you in the butt, and they tell you a computer took your job. That's
yeah,
awesome.
You know, they don't need us anymore. They got computers now.
Yeah, and that was a while ago. You know when the world is truly going to be in trouble, Jessica?
When?
Is when there's two types of computers. One that makes things... When computers become consumers...
Yeah, when computers start buying things.
Yes, it is truly, we are all done. Because then humans are just beside the point. The day that a computer gets a job and then gets paid something and then spends the money, then humans, you run. If you're a human, you just run.
You think the computer is going to get into Bitcoin?
I don't know.
They're going to run the stock market?
I think the computers won't get into Bitcoin. I think they'll just be dealing they'll be writing checks. Like, you'll get a computer will just send a check. When the computers...
they got electronic checks. They just send each other money.
I think they're going to write them. I think they're literally going to write them and mail them. The only thing the humans can do is be postal workers. Bring a check from one computer to another computer.
Power cord.
What are we going to do? When the computers become consumers, then it's done. Then we are truly done.
Like, what are we even going to do now?
No, it's over. We should
over.
Find a way to get into space as quickly as possible. Because our time here is donezo.
Whew. Something to think about.
Yeah. When suddenly a computer is like buying just garbage, like
yeah, I mean that's our job.
Like an action figure. When a computer buys like an action figure that's like mint in box, we're done. The human race is done at that point. The day a computer is just like, how much for that. Men in Black action figure, like whatever it would be, just like mint in box. then we're done. Then I'm coming up to Ithaca. I'm coming up to, that's where I'm going to hide. I went through Ithaca. Did I go through Ithaca when I drove to Toronto?
Did you? I'm not sure. A highway doesn't really go through here. We're a bit off the path.
I think I saw signs for Ithaca.
Yeah, you start seeing signs, and then it's another half hour.
Okay, so that's what it was, because I was just like, oh, hey, there's Ithaca.
That's where it is.
Yeah, that's where Jessica is. And then I was just like, man, I'm still going to keep going. What am I going to be like? Hey, Jessica, it's Tom. Remember, like, hey, it's 1 in the morning.
Can I come in?
Yeah, how far away? Oh, I'm still a half hour away. It's like, oh, so I'll be there around 2 in the morning. Yeah, no, the show, then I realized, like, the true gulf between it's like, yeah, hey, I listened to the show. You didn't need to come by at 2 in the morning to say hi. I appreciate that you...
I would have really appreciated it, but might not have been the right time.
Yeah, exactly. You really didn't. You'd be like, oh, you didn't. You shouldn't
you didn't have You'd to do like, this.
Oh, you shouldn't have. No, seriously, you shouldn't have. Bing bong.
No one really uses our doorbell, so I always get like surprised when someone uses it.
Yeah, it's like what?
Like who's
what,
who's there? Know,
what stranger is that? What stranger is ringing my doorbell? Because nobody I know uses it. That's bad news.
Either mail or bad news.
I'm looking at
that. Or once it was somebody's coming to tell me that a Spanish poet used to live in my house in the 1910s.
And then you're like, oh, okay. Well, thank you very
That's
much,
cool.
Slam.
Yeah, can we take pictures for a docu? Yeah, go nuts.
They came in to take pictures?
No. Outside shots.
Good, yeah. Because, yeah. Hey, can we take pictures? It's like, well, I kind of can't stop you from taking pictures of the outside of the house. But you're certainly not
coming. But it was nice you asked.
Yes, exactly. Thanks for asking for a thing you were going to do anyway. Because if I said no, you would have done it anyway. What would you think about this, Jessica? Bayonne honors one of its own. AP Mike Day.
I think that's beautiful.
Mike, what if we made that happen finally? I know we talked about it in the past. AP Mike Day in Bayonne. This is a call I'm putting out now. Whoever knows anyone who works in the Bayonne government, we'll just do AP Mike Day.
Will we get a key to the city?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Whole thing.
The whole
parade.
Thing. They'll give him a key to the city. They'll give him a key to the green quick check, which doesn't lock, so it's ironic that they'd give him a key to a thing because it's always open. It's never closed. The great thing is, like, Mike is always like, and I talked about this last night on a show will air in the future. I'm going to talk about it again. They'll be like, no matter what Mike's a humble, regular guy. He says anything to people, Ben. Oh, Mr. Fancy. Oh, look who's fancy with his. I'll see you later. Thank you, buddy. Oh, look who's fancy with his podcast. And he's like, he's the least fancy guy going. But let's make him, I want to make him fancy.
He's the least fancy guy going, but he's got an impressive merchandise line for Mr. Oh, no. Not Fancy.
Oh, no. This poster now, basically, I have an AP Mike headshot poster.
How big is it?
2 foot by 3 foot.
2 foot by 3 foot picture of AP Mike. It's That's
huge.
Pretty much Big Brother sized.
It's huge. You talk
AP
about
Mike
you think,
is watching you.
You think the headshot is staring at you? Imagine this thing on your wall, Jessica. This is like the size of one where in a movie where the eyes get pulled out and you actually see someone looking through it. Someone could look through this through those eyes.
By this point, he should just have a fat head of his headshot. Like those big vinyl decals
that
you put.
That would be. Because I'll say this. This guy wants to merchandise. I want more merch on the market for this guy. I want to find the spot when people are just like, I'm good. I got enough.
I got enough AP Mike stuff.
Yeah. I got enough.
When's he going to find that limit for people, I wonder?
Headshot, calendar, t-shirt. I want to see what the next thing is that where they're just like, I got an idea for a couple things. I got an idea. I'm going to do with or without him.
I got to figure out how to get in this merchandise game. I just don't know how he just keeps doing it, you know?
I don't know. He's got it. You know, they say either you've got it or you don't got it. He's got it.
I know.
So what's going on?
He does so naturally.
Yeah. What's going on with the band, Jessica?
Well, we just posted our new album on the internet yesterday, so that's been nice to get first looks on that. We literally finished it up and just pushed it out so we would not keep editing it forever.
Fantastic. The Nancy Babbage.
Yes.
The Nancy Babbage.
The Nancy Babbage.
Yes.
T-H-E. One and only.
I'm going to check it out.
All right. I really appreciate it. When I get physical copies going, I'll be sure to send one your way.
Please do. You know I like it.
All righty. I appreciate it. Appreciate.
I always appreciate you. Have a great night.
You too.
Okay, bye. Best Show, hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Joe from Toronto.
Is this the guy who I have the back and forth with?
It's fine. If that's the definition, I guess
it's fine.
I didn't really hear the follow-up from yesterday. I called in yesterday for the weird Monday, the blind Monday.
Yeah.
I talked about Ozzy Osbourne and his weird clapping.
Yeah, no, that was a good call. You didn't identify yourself in a way that I recognized it as you. Weisenheimer, and it was a great call. We had a good time.
That's my last name, actually.
Weisenheimer. Yeah. Well, fits. Yeah.
I just want to say hi. How are you?
I'm good. You hear Steve Gunn?
How's Jersey?
You hear that?
How's Jersey?
It's good. You hear Steve Gunn?
I love Steve Gunn.
Yeah.
Like it's one of those in the past like 4 months. Somebody put me on to Steve, and it's incredible.
Yeah, wait till you hear this record. The new record is great.
Yeah, I'm all about it. I wanted to fill you in with more of some Florida info. Being from Florida originally, there's a Florida man thing is a big thing out there.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to give you the newest thing that I heard.
Y'all.
And I wanted to share it with you.
What's that now?
This man originally he was arrested recently for threatening his neighbors, where he was killing them. He threatened to kill them with kindness.
Uh huh.
And turns out that he named his machete Kindness.
Really.
Real story, 100% real.
Okay, that's terrifying.
It's a weird fella.
That's terrifying.
It's a weird person.
Yeah, that's a very weird person.
That so, worries. What's on your mind, though?
Not a whole
what's
lot.
On your mind,
it seems
Tom?
Like you're. It seems like you're a little loosey goosey tonight, buddy. I'm gonna keep it moving.
That's fair.
Goodbye. Best show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, to whom am I speaking here now?
You're speaking to Woody in Rochester, New York.
What's going on, Woody? A lot of upstate calls tonight.
Oh, is that right? I'm sorry, I missed a bunch of the show.
Don't worry. You don't apologize for a thing.
Oh, thanks so much. Tom, you had a guy on earlier who was asking for advice. I had an advice question.
Okay.
I was wondering if you had any thoughts about, like, what you do about, like, imposter syndrome.
What's that mean? Feeling like you're a fraud?
Yeah, feeling like, well, I do some stuff. I do some comedy stuff up here in Rochester, New York, which I realize, you know, is whatever. But, you know, I still get this feeling after having done a bunch of stuff and, you know, sticking it out for all this time and doing some things that I think are cool. But, you know, at the same time, I still feel like, oh, there's other people, you know, who were around a little longer than me or maybe it kind of didn't give me the time of day back when I was first starting out. But, you know, maybe those are the real people and I'm somehow not one of those. I don't know.
All right, well,
it's
here
a weird
you go.
Feeling.
Okay. Do you think you're funny?
Yeah.
Do you have friends that think you're funny?
Yes.
That's it right there. That's it. You're good. You're legit.
That's real nice of you.
It's that
you
simple.
Know, it's...
It really is that simple. At four in the morning, what do you think? What's your worst fear at 4 in the morning? That you're a fraud?
I don't know if that's my worst fear, but it does come up. Like my worst fear would be that I didn't get to do all the stuff that I wanted to do, you know?
Yeah, join the club. What are you going to do?
You know, because there's only so much time.
Well,
you know
what you
got to
do? Then you got to start doing it.
Oh, I'm doing it. I mean, okay. Like, part of this is just that I, like, set a big goal for this year.
Good.
And it makes me feel, I know it's good, but at the same time, it makes me feel exposed in a certain way. You know, it's like, you call a big shot, and then it's like you could really fall on your face.
Sure, but, no, you definitely can. But you're also going for it. What would be better, to not go for it
That's a very easy thing to not go for it.
Yeah, I think I decided that it was maybe time to try and do some of the stuff that some of my friends are doing, and there's no reason why I shouldn't be doing the same thing at this point. Look, you know,
you're nervous about it. That's good. It means you know that you're worried about the consequence of falling on your face. But you know what? You're going to work hard, and you're not going to fall on your face. You're going to make sure you don't fall on your face. You'll be fine. Because you're going to do it, and you're going to work hard at it. Right?
Yeah.
You're not a fraud. You know you're not a fraud. You just want somebody to tell you you're good, and that's fine. That's a natural thing.
I don't know. No, I still. It was. You know, another thing. I had.
You know, you're
I,
not I, a fraud. I'm not even being mean about it. You know. You know, deep down, you're not.
Well, thanks, Tom.
You know you're funny, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And you got your friends who you think are funny, and they think you're funny.
Yes.
Yeah, that might be enough. Might be enough. What, are you going to wait forever?
No. I mean, and that's why I started doing this stuff to begin with.
Good.
Because I was, you know, like 7 years ago, and I was like, I just had this feeling like, well, you're either going to do something or, you know, what is the point of anything kind of thing. And, I mean, it totally changed my life. You know, it's just one of those things where you feel like, where's the ceiling on it or whatever.
Yeah, but you know, you're doing it. You're doing it. I don't know what to say. You're doing a thing. Wherever it ends up. You can't control that. So just do the thing.
All right. I appreciate it, Tom.
Yeah, don't worry. You're doing all right, buddy. All right. You have a great night. All right. Hey, everybody. I'm going to end the show. Best show. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Steve Gunn for coming by, Michael Slabach for making that possible. Thanks to everybody at Matador for making that possible. New Steve Gunn record's out on Friday. And Mike Kroll premiered that record. Thanks. Check his record out on Merge end of January, I believe. Power Chords. All right. And I'll be in San Francisco on Thursday with Julie Klausner, part of the Sketch Fest, in conversation with Julie Klausner. Do not miss it. It's going to be really funny. And Saturday, February 2nd, so it's come to this. Pat Byrne, Jason Gore, February 2nd, 11 p.m., Brooklyn Comedy Collective at the Brick. You can find either of them on Twitter and get more information. It'll be funny. They're funny guys. Don't miss it. Thanks for listening, and we will be back. There will be a best show next week. Thank you, and have a great night. Here's something. We'll go out on Helium from the Magic City album. Matador reissued it. Here's Leon Space Song. Bye.